Peter and the Jailbirds. Chapter 15. He's a Good Kid. This chapter contains warnings for non-graphic references to surgery and brief reference to police brutality. The only thing worse than listening to Peter's screams was the scream that just stopped, followed by absolute silence. May stopped pacing mid-step and stared at Ned. Ned stared up at her. "Friday," he said. "What?" A hologram of the operating room popped up from the coffee table. Peter lay bound to a glinting contraption that bore an unsettling resemblance to a torture table. MJ leaned over his head, patting his cheek and saying something. The audio was off. A nurse checked the monitors, then tipped Peter's head back slightly on the table. On the other side of the curtain, Dr. Cho paused for a moment to confer with one of the other nurses, then resumed, "Oh, God, no. Ned was not watching that. He must have passed out," Ned said shakily. "It's probably better that way. May, sit. Please, don't fall over, okay?" May fell into the nearest chair, eyes fixed on Peter's pixelated blue outline. "They're not panicking," Ned said, absolutely panicking. "And they would have called you in if something happened, right? They said they would." "I can't do this," May rasped. "None of us can," Ned said. "You don't have to do this," May said. "Go home, get some sleep, get..." "Are you kidding? I'm Peter's guy in the chair. His wingman, his brother, you know? Kinda, sorta-ish, whatever. I'll be here as long as it takes." May covered her eyes with one hand. "Thank you," she whispered. "Wait a sec," Ned said. "Friday, that thing over there, that's the heart monitor, right? Zoom in." He squinted at the translucent image. "There," he said, and touched May's shoulder. "There, look, he's okay, he's alive, they're taking care of him, he's going to be fine." The line on the heart monitor jagged up and down, weak but steady. Falcon burst into the waiting room with Captain America hard on his heels. "Steve heard," Falcon said. "It's so quiet, is he... "He's alive," Ned said. He pointed to the heart monitor. May was still staring at it fixedly, one hand clenched around the ring she wore on a chain around her neck. "Oh, thank God." Falcon's shoulders slumped in relief. "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. I just... "You could have just asked Friday," Hawkeye said, landing with a quiet thump. Ned jumped halfway out of his seat. "Where did you just..." "The vents," Captain America sighed. "He lives there. He was probably a mouse in a former life." "I'm thinking a rat, actually," Black Widow said, dropping down from the vents on Hawkeye's heels. "Maybe a cockroach." "Anyway," Falcon said, turning back to Ned and May, "I'm really sorry about this. I didn't mean to bring the Horde in here. We'll leave you guys in peace." "No," May said, eyes still locked on the heart monitor. "No, it's okay. You can stay." Friday moved the hologram towards the center of the room so that everyone could all see the hologram. Ned froze as Peter's heart stuttered, then steadied again. A little elf in the corner of his brain was jumping up and down, shouting, "Captain America, Falcon, Hawkeye, Black Widow, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, this is the most amazing thing to ever happen to me ever of all time, ever!" But if Peter didn't make it out of this, it wouldn't matter how many Avengers autographs he could score. "How was he?" May rasped. "Before all of this," she waved a hand at the hologram. "Obnoxiously cheerful," Hawkeye said. "Spent the whole time bouncing off the walls, like literally bouncing off the walls." Falcon elbowed him. "Peter was doing all right," he said. "I'm sure he'll be glad to see you all. He talked about you all the time, Miss Parker. You too, Ned." "Oh," May said. "It's just May, Mr. Wilson, please." "Well, then you ought to call me Sam." Sam stretched a hand towards May. "It's great to meet you." May shook Sam's hand. "You too," she said. "Thank you, thank you, thank you. You saved Peter's life. I'm always going to owe you." "Yeah, I see where Peter gets the drama from." Sam grinned at May. "Nah, he's a good kid, and he saved my life first, so, you know, I was just paying my own debt." "Still," May said, "thank you so much. If there's anything I can do, let me know, okay? And I'm sorry, I know it's an awful thing to say. I'm so sorry you were in there, but I'm glad you were there for him. I'm glad he wasn't alone." Sam's jaw tightened for a moment, but his eyes were steady on May's. "Yeah," he said. "Well, I'm sorry Peter got thrown in there too, but it helped to have him in there. He's so hopeful and kind and funny, and He's a good kid, May. You should be proud of him. It kinda hurts me to say this, Hawkeye said, but Sam's right. May's eyes glittered brightly under the fluorescent lights of the waiting room. I am proud of him, she rasped. I am, and thank you so much. MJ dropped her blood-stained set of scrubs into a bin, tugged her jeans out of the locker they had given her, and started yanking them back on. A minute later, Dr. Cho stepped into the changing room, slumped onto one of the benches, and rested her head in her hands. Are you okay? She asked. No, MJ said. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, Peter's going to be okay, right? I hope so, Dr. Cho said. God, I'd like to pass out in a bottle of wine right now. Then go do it. Someone ought to get drunk now. I can't, Dr. Cho sighed and started to change into a new set of scrubs. I'm on call until Peter's recovered, or at least out of immediate danger. MJ studied Dr. Cho for a moment, memorizing the lines of her face to sketch out later. You asked me if I thought I'd be okay going into the operating room with him, but you didn't ask myself if I was okay with operating on a person who was wide awake and screaming, Dr. Cho said. Correct? Well, MJ said, now you know you don't have a future as a torturer. That's an important thing to learn about yourself. Dr. Cho cracked a smile. True, she said. That is a relief. And you? How's your supervillain future looking? Someday, MJ said, I'm going to be in a protest where the police start shooting or tear gassing or just beating people up. I needed to know that I can keep my head when people I love are hurt. Dr. Cho held MJ's gaze for a moment. And? Can you? I don't know. MJ took her hair down from its tiny bun and started pulling it into a looser ponytail, just to have something to do with her hands. But I think so. I hope so. I'm going to have to. Dr. Cho bent over to tie her shoes. I hope you never have to, she said, but I think you'll be able to handle it. Not many people can do what you did. MJ shrugged, lips twitching against a small smile. That thing about the orange, Dr. Cho said, was that a poem? His favorite, MJ said. It's cute. It's ridiculous. And dorky and awkward and lame and silly and sweet and loving. Ah, Dr. Cho said. Don't give me that look, MJ said. She shoved her feet into her shoes, trying and utterly failing to suppress a stupid grin.